Bibles, the book of Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Last week we took a closer look at what John was now seeing once all the plagues and judgments and all those who had received had not received Christ were all gone. John saw a new heaven and a new earth. Can you turn me down just a little bit? He saw a new heaven and a new earth. He told us that the old heaven and the old earth had passed away. We learned that the people who were now present were only those who had received Christ or accepted God in the Old Testament. These people were truly God's people. John told us that at this time, tears, grief, sorrow, pain, and death are all gone, never to be heard of or seen again. We learn that at this time, the people of the earth will, for the first time since sin entered the world back in the garden, that man is now satisfied with who they are. Amen. What they have and who God is to them. We learn that there is no longer any veil that separates man from God, that will constantly, forever, we'll constantly and forever dwell together. Tonight we're going to get a little closer look at the new things John spoke of last week. So let's look at Revelation chapter 21 and start in verse 9. Revelation 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came and spoke with me. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He then carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, arrayed with God's glory. Her radiance was like a very precious stone, like a jasper stone, bright as crystal. The city had a massive high wall with 12 gates. 12 angels were at the gates, on the gates. Names were inscribed, the names of 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. The city wall had 12 foundations, and on them were 12 names of the Lamb's 12 apostles. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out in a square. Its length, width are the same. He measured the city with a rod at 12,000 stadia. Its length, width, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits according to human measurement, which the angel used. The building material of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like crystal glass. The foundation of the city wall were adorned with all kind of precious stone. Here we go. The first foundation, jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedonia. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, carnelian. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysophraz. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates and the 12 pearls are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made of a single pearl. The broad street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. I did not see a sanctuary in it, because the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its sanctuary. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because God's glory illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk in the light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Each day its gates will never close, because there will never be night there. They will bring the glory, honor of the nations into it. Nothing profane will ever enter it. No one who does what is vile or false, but only those written in the Lamb's book of life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for allowing us to come into your house this evening. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we study your word tonight. Help us, Lord, to retain something as we walk out into our mission fields here shortly. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now, I want to promise you something. If you'll stay with me and we'll get on it, this is a short message. All right. Amen. Now, recall with me that when we were studying Revelation chapter 17 concerning the notorious harlot, that John first saw the harlot from a distance. Y'all remember that night I was over there in the corner and I said he saw her from afar away. Then I got a little closer and a little closer. Y'all remember that? John first saw the harlot from a distance. Then he got closer and he got closer. And when he got close enough, he recognized her. Well, last week, John saw the new creations from a distance. Tonight, we're going to see a closer look. As I have in times past, as I read through the rest of this chapter, I became a little overwhelmed with the amount of content covered and trying to wrap my mind around the amount of symbolism each must have projected. But as I found, these verses are not as complex as I had anticipated. Now, I'm sure that there are some guys out there who dissected every little line. The commentaries that I read didn't. As I read through it, Miss Desi, I was like, good night, 12 gates, 12 pearls, north gates, I mean, south gate, east gate, west gate. How in the world? It's going to take me 6 weeks just to dissect the second part of Revelation 21. But as I started reading, it was like, nah, it's not that bad at all. Not that bad at all. So what did John see? What did John see? Verses 9 through 11, John tells us that he saw the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Who is that? The church. That's us. Okay? Now here's where it's going to get a little hard to understand. Church, I have to stop right here before I move forward and tell you that I do not understand all of what I'm about to say. Okay? I don't, Jeff, I don't. I don't understand what I'm about to say. I'm just going to say it, okay? It all does not make perfect sense to me. But I can tell you that it makes perfect sense to me because God's ways are not my ways. And what God does is perfect. Amen? Now, here we go. Warren Wiersbe explains that John sees first in verses 9 through 11 as this. The eternal city is not only the home of the bride, it is the bride. They're one and the same. It's not only the home of the bride, it is the bride. The city is not a building, it is a people. The city John saw was a holy and heavenly place. In fact, it descended to earth from heaven, where it was prepared. What does this mean? I have no idea. But God made it, I'm part of it, and so it's perfect and it's beautiful. Brother Kyle, now hold on a second. You're supposed to stand up in that pulpit and you're supposed to divide the word in a way that I can understand it. When I understand it, I will divide it in a way that you will understand it. But when I don't, I will stand here flat-footed and be perfectly honest with you and tell you, I don't get it, I don't understand it, but it's all about God and it's going to be perfect. Right? It's going to be perfect. Next, John then goes on to describe the city in detail in verses 12 through 14. Wiersbe says, the foundations speak of preeminence. In contrast, permanence. The foundations speak of permanence in contrast to the tents in which the pilgrims and strangers lived. Y'all remember all throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew children would wander, and what would they live in? Tents. What would the tabernacle be made out of? Tents. We now have a permanent structure, and it's permanent forever, never to be torn down, never to be destroyed. How many temples do we see in the Old Testament? 3. Okay? How many do we see in the book of Revelation after Jesus has come? 1. And it's permanent. It's never, ever going to be destroyed. The walls and gates speak of protection. God's people will never have to fear any enemies. Angels are at the gates, which act as sentries. Now, we'll get to it here in a few minutes, but there's no night either. So the gates are always lowered. In Jewish tradition, when would they raise the city gates? Generally about 30 minutes prior to sundown. They'd raise the city gates, and they would stay raised until sunrise. So they'd never go down. I mean, they'd never go up. See, John then says this, the mention of the 12 tribes and their names inscribed on the city gates as well as on the name of the 12 apostles written on the foundations seems once again to me puzzling. Now remember, the 12 tribes and their names were inscribed on the city. The 12 apostles were on the foundations. So this was puzzling to me. You would think that it would be the opposite, that the 12 tribes would be on the foundations because they were the first to set the stage for the 12 apostles' work in the New Testament. But this is the design of God. And who am I to add my thoughts to God's? What we need to do here is see that the old covenant and the new covenant will be united with this city. So, my Wednesday night class, what does that mean? The covenant of the law will be united with the covenant of grace for the first time. That's phenomenal. And nobody's excited. Hallelujah. All right, what does John see next? John then speaks of the city's measurements in verses 15 through 17. Warren Wiersbe says, the measurements are staggering. If we take a cubit as 18 inches, then the city walls are 216 feet high. That's pretty high, isn't it? 216 feet high. As a furlong, it takes as 600 feet as in ancient times. The city would almost be 1,500 miles square. This is 3/4 the size of the United States. Well, you're thinking, man, that's kind of small, isn't it? What are our bodies going to be like? We'll have new bodies. Now, we'll be united with these bodies, but it's going to be in a new atmosphere. It's going to be newly designed. This is going to be a tremendous space that it'll take a long time for us to see everything that's there. But this is a tremendous, tremendous large space. John then gives us a list of building materials seen in verses 18 through 20. He says, the walls are jasper, which is crystal clear. Now, as we go through this, I'm going to get to a major point, and y'all have got to see this because it's absolutely phenomenal. I didn't see it the first two or three times I read through it. The walls are jasper, which is crystal clear. The city itself is made of pure gold, which is crystal clear. Listen, the light of God will shine through the city resembling a huge holies of holies. Think about that for a second. We are together in the presence of God. And we'll get to the part where there is no sun and moon anymore here in a few minutes, but the light is coming from the source of all light, and you have all this crystal clear crystal, basically, and then you have the light from God shining through it. What's it going to be like? It's going to be like an unbelievable, ever-present prism shining in 100,000 different directions. I mean, we can't in our human mind. How long can we look at the sun? And the presence of God, it's going to be brighter than the sun. And then it's going to be an unbelievable holies of holy. It's going to be phenomenal. All right. The building foundation, John describes, is 12 layers deep that is exposed. It's completely exposed to be seen as not as the conventional foundation that's completely covered beneath the ground. All of our foundations, even the foundation of this church, is beneath the ground. These 12 foundations are completely exposed. You can see them. Okay? Now think about that. You've got all this light shining from God, from the imminence of God, through these first two, through the walls and the and then makes it through the foundations. What's that going to look like? How many of y'all remember the kaleidoscopes when we were kids? You don't see them anymore. The kaleidoscopes, you sit there and turn them. They have them at Cracker Barrel? Okay. That in my mind is, but I mean, times 100,000. So, the foundation is 12 layers deep. This foundation will be visible and beautifully garnished with precious stones. Each separate foundation will have its own jewel. And the blending of the colors will be magnificent as God's light shines through them all at once. Think about that for a second. That's unbelievable. I mean, I can't explain how beautiful it's going to be. Now, he gives a little description of each one of the jewels. Jasper was explained as clear. Sapphire is blue. The chalcedonia is a greenish blue. Emerald is green. That's right. Thank you. Sardonyx is white with brown streaks. Sardis is a red stone. Chrysolite is yellow. Beryl is green. Topaz is a yellow-green. Not sure of the color of chrysothoris. Some think it's a golden-tinted stone. Jacinth is probably blue or amethyst. And amethyst is a rich purple or blue-red. Wiersbe says, "Our God is a God of beauty and will lavish His beauty on the city He is preparing for His people." I don't know how deep these foundations are. How deep is our foundation here? I don't even know what the spec is in the city of Savannah, how deep the foundation has to be. But a foundation is generally, you know, where we live up in the clay of South Carolina, it's anywhere from 12 inches to, you know, 24 inches deep. I don't know how deep these foundations are, but they're layered, 12 layers deep, and as the city comes down, the first thing we're going to see is the bottom of these foundations. And we're going to see the splendor of God shining through the walls, through the crystal, through the golden floors, and through these 12 foundations. What's it going to look like? I have no idea. Jeff, I don't have a clue. I don't think I can prepare my mind for what this is going to be like and how beautiful it's going to be. Now, the 12 gates. The gates themselves will be 12 whole pearls. I've never seen a pearl that big. I've never seen a clam that big. I love eating clams, and that'd be a good clam, wouldn't it? But I've never seen anything like that big. 12 whole pearls, which were considered to be the royal gem of ancient times. John says these gates will never be closed because there will never be any danger of anything entering that would disturb or defile her people. John then tells us of some things that are not in the city. So we've seen a little closer look at the New Jerusalem. We've seen the foundations. We've seen the walls. We've seen some of the inner dwellings there. But now we're going to talk about some things that are not there. The city does not have a sanctuary because God is our sanctuary. We're going to be walking around with the sanctuary, church. Does that not blow your mind? There's no more Holy of Holies. We're experiencing the Holy of Holies. There's no petition, no wall, no curtain. We're walking in the presence and the essence of God on a daily basis. Never separated again. Who just shouted? According. Okay. The city also has no need of the sun, the moon, because the light of God is always present and shining. last weekend before we got a call from Amy's friend that we needed to come get her and take her to the hospital because she was having a baby, I was sitting there in my chair. I was totally relaxed. I was singing Kumbaya to myself. I didn't have anything on my mind. But I started looking at the ocean, and I remembered this scripture because last week we talked to Miss Desi, and there's no more sea. And then I got to thinking, you know, looking around, and here I am totally relaxed, and my poor wife is probably not going to like heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. And she looks at me about this time. She says, "What are you thinking about?" And I said, "You're not going to like heaven." She said, "What do you mean I'm not going to like heaven?" I said, "You love the sun. There's not going to be a sun there. It's just the Son of God. There's not going to be any ocean. I mean, you love to come and sit at the ocean." I said, "None of that's going to be here. The ocean's going to be gone, and the sun's going to be gone." I think she's going to be okay, y'all. Y'all don't grieve for her too long. But that's the truth. And I sat there and I thought, you know, why is it that God would do that? Because man, we all do it. We're enamored by the ocean, aren't we? We just sit there and listen to the waves, and it's calming. It just helps us collect ourselves. And you know, the sun, we feel the radiance of the sun and the breeze and hear the birds. I mean, it's just calming to us, some of us. Look at Jessica, like, don't like to deal with the sand. But in our minds, that's how we calm ourselves. And that's the best that it can be here on this earth. And God's like, "Listen, that's nothing compared to what I have prepared for you." In your mind, you love the ocean and the sun and the birds and the sea and all this, but that's not. As a matter of fact, it's good, but it's not anywhere close. I'm just going to do away with it. It's not even going to be here. That's how great what I'm preparing for you is. Brother Kyle, can you give us some details? Nope. All I know is it's phenomenal. How do you know it's phenomenal? Because God's making it. He's still preparing it right now. What we're seeing today, listen, what we see today, according to Scripture, how long did it take God to prepare and create this earth? How many days did He do it in? 6. I was waiting for somebody to say 7. No. What did God do on the 7th day? Look, did you hear the children? Rested. That's right. So in 6 days, we see what God created here. And really and truly, this isn't what God created. What God created, He destroyed in the flood. This is the remnant of the flood. But God has been working on this and is going to continue to work on it. How wonderful is it going to be? I don't know. I don't have. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be phenomenal. Now, verse 27. Those of you who have read ahead, verse 27 is kind of like, I think it's verse 14. Yeah, verse 14 in chapter 20. Did you see it, Miss Desi? Did you read that? It just seems out of place because it is really kind of out of place. And out of all this wonder and joy and beauty, we see verse 27. Look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, "Nothing profane will enter it, no one who does what is vile or false, but only those written in the Lamb's book of life." Let's read that again. "But only those written in the Lamb's book of life." So what this means, if your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life, you're not going to see it. You're not going to enter it. You're not even going to get close to it. The only thing that's going to be in this city is what is perfect, what God has chosen and those who have chosen God. Why did He put it there? Why did He put it there? Church, I believe John includes verse 27 because he was told to do it. As he was envisioning all this, the angel told him, "Listen, there's something you need to add to this. I know you probably don't want to, but add this." And he adds verse 27. I believe he includes verse 27 because those who will be there should be excited and encouraged by it. And I also believe it was written because there are many, many who believe they will be there, but they will not. And it was there as a warning for those who read this book to get their life right with God and accept His free gift now, so they do not have to miss out on all the splendor He is preparing for us right now. I mean, it's magnificent. Your preacher can't even preach a complete message because it's incomplete. It's not finished. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. And if you don't accept Christ as your Savior today, right now, you'll never see it. Never see it. It's God's greatest, beautiful creation. And it's meant for those who love Him. Will you see it? I hope so. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that You would open our hearts right now and help us to see who we really are right now. God, help us to see if what we've done with You is real. God, I love every person who is in this sanctuary tonight. And I want to be with them in this city. But God, it's not a choice that I can make for them. It's a choice they have to make for themselves. God, I pray that if there's somebody here tonight who has never accepted You, who's put it off, who's pushed You away, God, I pray the night will be the night of their salvation. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this evening?